And the Wednesday edition of Brass Stats continues. On the WhatsApp, the people talking about the monkeys carrying away the scarce food, and some talking about why not let us start to eat the monkeys too. Some people asking, some stores are supposed to be closed and they notice them open. Well, let them stay open. The city fee is up to $50,000, so they could take all the profit they made and put some money with that and pay the fee. Some persons here are concerned about the geriatric nurses, and they're saying that they are not COVID trained, they don't have the PPEs, they don't have the proper isolation and so on, and they want that looked into. Someone here is saying they're concerned about the price gouging, there's no need for that. That person obviously doesn't understand some power and greed and stuff like that, but I take the point and I agree with it. This is not the time for price gouging, and there is no time for price gouging. Someone here is suggesting that we take our water from the washing machines and redirect it for gardening. Now, some of the chemicals in the thing we use to wash the soap and so on may be a concern, but I'm sure we could use it for washing down outside and stuff like that. I'm asked to repeat the site that Mr. Jeff the Broomer Brooms made a mention of this morning, and it is weexcel.app. That is weexcel.app. APP, if you want to get involved in that program for the mock tests and assessments and so on. 3 minutes after 11 o'clock. Good morning and welcome.
Hello, good morning, Corey.
Hey, good morning to you too.
How are you doing?
I am fine, you know, that's the truth.
Okay, I'm glad to hear. What I want to talk about, just now I hear you speak about outside toilet pits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see the same well that what you got in the yard?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can buy a toilet bowl, concrete toilet bowl, which is a dig, which is put for the outside pit. And once you have got a manhole cover, you can take this toilet bowl and put under that manhole and use that there and build a shed over it and use that as an outside toilet so that if the pipe it go off, you have got something outside in the yard to use.
Interesting. Interesting.
Right, but if you got one that with the solid slab, you're not going to get one to put over that. But the ones that got the manhole, it's got the manhole cover. Mm-hmm.
Then you just have to make sure it's really secure, because that's something you don't want to drop down in there at all.
No. I used to work in the Ministry of Health.
That people will not drop into it if they don't secure it properly. They have to secure it properly.
That's all
I'm saying. Because I don't want anybody to go saying, see, you know what? I live in such and such area. We ain't getting water. Let me set up a little makeshift thing over the well. And then next thing you know, they fall down and they make serious doo-doo. Figuratively and literally too. So it's a good, the thing is, the price of progress dictates that we must move on from these things, right?
Right.
But sometimes, because you understand the earth spins and then it orbits around the sun, there's a lot of spinning. So sometimes you come back where you start. I have looked at some documentaries. I've spent 2-3 month periods in the U.S. at campsites. And they have these things called the outhouses. And one of the things they are really pit toilets, but they are made to feel and smell and look comfortable. And it just had me thinking about, we are far away mentally from thinking about the tertiary treatment plants where we use urine back as water again to drink. And we are far away off as probably using our human feces for composting of our plants, understanding that it is done in parts of the world successfully. But I think that step by step, that's why we go primary, secondary, and then tertiary. And I think the mentality, the socialization, and the people will follow suit. So I think these are some good ideas that you've shared with us. And I really want to thank you for them. That's the truth.
Because when you get one and you put over that, from getting any cockroach and thing running to go down inside, you will get little mortar and put around the edge so that no cockroach or anything so won't get down inside it. So you will got that outside toilet that in case if you put inside go off.
You said already, you're repeating, we got that and we thank you. We thank you very much. So we want to thank you very much for that. You repeat it and I guess you're reiterating. So we thank you very much. Brass Stats, good morning. You on the air?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Yes, please. Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine, thanks. And you?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm calling to get you to have clear the air on persons like gardeners, hairdressers, you know, artisans, you know, because they work kind of independently. Mm-hmm. So
help me to clear the air with the feedback coming in the back. Come through, just turn it ready a little bit and come back at us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
The persons that are skilled persons, you know, yes, they work independently, like electricians, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate if you could have someone come on the air and kind of educate those people on what plan they have for them and how they can make the application,
mm-hmm,
because I find that a lot of them are lost, mm-hmm, you know, in acquiring funds to help.
Right. My understanding, I could speak a little bit to it. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that in the first instance, government has made some funds available for the 1,500 most vulnerable families.
Right.
And in speaking to the authorities, they do understand that they may have to increase that. Now, the category of persons are the persons like what you mentioned just now. But before we get to those,
because some of those people may not have paid national insurance contribution.
Correct. Okay, so we get in there.
They have somebody, you know, come and clarify that for them, mm-hmm, or educate, you know, the public. Mm-hmm. For people like those that, you know, that it won't be at a loss.
Correct.
Right. So thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. All right, we can move on. I encourage you and others to stay tuned because I was going to go through it, but I take the opportunity, the next opportunity I get to lay out the information that I do have. I'll give you the facts, and as I get the other facts, I'll give you those so that we have facts plus facts equal to more facts. Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good morning. We have someone sounding like you on already, probably your twin. You have a twin or a brother?
No, I don't have no twin.
Okay, man. I always thought you were a twin.
As far as it concerned, I seem to got a distinct voice, so mm-hmm, I don't know.
I always thought so, boy. But until I heard that guy this morning, it sounded like he ain't talking like him. He not philosophical.
Right, he ain't in a conspiracy neither.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I will tell you, alluding to what the man is telling you about giving callers time, what he don't let you do with me, mm-hmm, is that they don't let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I seem to be hot, or whatever you might call it.
When you hot, when you on fire.
When I'm on fire, or saying things that you might not be comfortable with.
Nah, it don't be comfort or discomfort. You know, it don't matter to me what you say. You could say the earth flat. My fact, they said already. You could say anything. I mean, you could just get locked down. It's just a time thing and team effort. When my producer do something, give me the finger, right? It's not the middle one. It's the finger. It's the index.
I just have to go. It's kind of rude.
No, it don't be rude. I want people to come in. We had open day. I don't know. It may be years before we have an open day with this COVID thing. And let people come in and see what it is you're actually dealing with. We got 5 calls. One was on for 35 minutes, one for 14, one for 1, one for 3, one for 7. Lots of WhatsApps, ads, all these things. So it's not rude at all. I mean, I would like you to go long down to 2 o'clock. You know what I mean? So go long down. Take the rest of the day. Go long.
Right.
Go long down, sir. Go long.
Right. Well, I give you a chat. So let me run through here.
Yes.
Right. Starting off first with landlords, right? And people in mentioning the ones that, you know, when you're dealing with business, you know, the ones that renting from people that doing business. Well, there's some of these people that saying the government, you know, they haven't really been having a heart on who owe them, you know, they're still coming for the money, even if you just come back out last week or so. And they're saying that they will tell you that the government ain't gaining nothing neither. They still got to pay their income tax and things. So I hear nobody mentioning one. But the government should be able to, you know, give them a relief so they will give the others a little relief too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, there's something that Mr. The gentleman that over the, I think he's the Minister of Water. He's from Christchurch.
Yeah, Abrams.
Right. I heard him say something that I don't really agree with, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said that this is the worst drought in 70 years.
Mm.
I didn't know if he including under the Democratic period along with this one. I can tell you this. They had rain early this year. The year started rain. But when David Thompson first took the reign of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see rain stop in October.
When he started to rain, the rain stopped.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When he started to rain, the rain stopped. in October. And in fall, you ain't see a rainfall, not to
but, sir,
June.
Sir, and this reminds me of the memory of Alpha here. You know, I remember Alpha was saying, man, yeah, they're talking about tourism down, man, but I went to the beach and I count the tourists, they got more tourists down there. And when you talk about the worst drought, it's a scientific measure. So they actually measure rainfall officially, mm-hmm, I believe, out there by the airport and other places, uh-huh, the Met Office does. So when they talk about the worst drought, they're not looking at the politics of it. They don't care who the prime minister is, was, or are to be. What they're really looking at is how much rain hit the ground. And
so
it is a measurement.
Not
it is to do with millimeters. That's what they measure it by, too. So it is an actual objective scientific measurement of, mm-hmm, the rainfall that determines whether it is the best or the worst drought they ever had. That's
so
where
you're saying this isn't coming from the minister, this is coming from my office people.
But I will hope that the minister, if he can say it is the worst, that he is in line with the science.
But you know, anything that a politician, especially ones over this side here, said, it'd be politics to me, right? Because I mean, they don't make anyone.
All right, let me ask you directly, and this can settle the matter. How much rainfall did we have in 2008?
What, Corey, I didn't measure nothing. I can't.
We're doing top, boy, if it's the worst or the best, if you're doing no. Right, how many openers get that, too? I can't do
Corey,
that.
Corey, listen.
I can't get
from
that,
my
too.
Observation.
Observation? You could observe how much rainfall in the country for years, sir.
All right, Corey, come on.
No, you come on.
Come, listen,
you, but
just
you train. I'm listening.
Corey,
go
just
ahead.
Listen.
Yes,
stop
sir.
Time,
right, okay. Sorry, I apologize.
Right?
I'm the one at the same time.
Whoopar, I live in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The rain and fall from October, mm-hmm, till June next year.
Right.
That's all I telling you.
Okay.
But under this administration, it's the falling.
Okay.
That's all he's saying. Like,
right.
Whether you write, the scientists right or wrong.
Fair
right?
Enough.
I can make these two last point and get off, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The pit toilets now, mm-hmm, can be... I like the one that the gentleman say, you can all put the thing that the you know that the used to give you for the pit toilet up top the well. And we ain't talking about no makeshift nothing. We talking about a good strong slab up top the well that built out of concrete and steel and so on, right? And that will give you actually a cover for that well, and you can use that when there's no water, right? And these what is made of pit toilet smell terrible is urine, not really the feces itself. So there's an upgrade to this too that people can go into that. I see only people that doing it is the Caucasian and them. But I would like my people to be more productive and creative that way. All right, the last thing, the alphabetical order seem to be working to me very fine. At least part of my letter is I able to walk straight into popular, at least the popular that I goes to, right? And the last thing I would like to say, Corey, is about this. The thing that I said to you the last time I spoke to you about the conspiracy about the 5G.
Uh-huh.
When a gentleman called in and said his daughter and so on, right, is working military in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Corey, I can tell you something about conspiracy. Everywhere you check any conspiracy theorist, you're an intelligent fella. You will see that stupid people don't mean conspiracy theory. They'd be intelligent people. Since it's a conspiracy, that means that you can't come and talk to somebody in military, because that means it can be something hidden that we can't see. And what I observe, Corey, is that consciousness, right, is on different levels, because the so-called conspiracy theory, they be seeing things that other people can't see.
Mm-hmm.
I know at the end of the day, a lot of people can wake up to see that the conspiracy theorist would have been right after all. Because all this here, so to me, is a reset of the economy, because they can't do no wars now, so they're doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people might be dying, but there could be a hidden agenda that can lead straight into people getting injection in the market, the beast, and so on. So I want to thank you very much.
I want to thank you for enlightening the public on those things, and really and truly hope that you have a wonderful day. Before you fully go, just remind you that when you measure the rainfall, they also are reminding you to measure the time it takes to get through the aquifer. Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm your host, Corey Lane, back by producer Michelle Braffitt. We go until 2 p.m. this afternoon, taking your calls and all. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Corey.
Hi, morning.
How are you keeping, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm fine.
Yes.
I want to seek your permission to. I was on the parking airplane for a long time, so I want to seek your permission to go airborne.
Look, air traffic control give you thumbs up. I laugh it too. So go ahead. What you have her permission? You go on clear.
I want to make. I
no
want
more
to,
than 30,000 feet, sir.
There's an inter-Caribbean flight. I want to make 3 short stops. And I understand fully that you're waiting there. First, serious now, I want to take this opportunity to express to the family of Joe Edgell and all of us who were of the session of the Great Combination in Parliament that, you know, knowing Joe was not just knowing Joe. I knew Joe long before he entered politics. I knew him when he used to be in charge of the Southern Stars Calypso Tent, Joe's Pharmacy, and I can vouch to say that Joe, Lashley Hamilton, and myself were about the 3 grassroots politicians who were in politics in the House of Assembly at the time with the Great Combination. And Joe was one who cared, truly who cared. To his family and all those who have been associated with him, I can swear that they can say that he has been truly a parliamentary representative and a person. So I'm proud that I've spent my parliamentary time in Parliament with Mr. Joseph Edgell. That's the first stop.
If I can tag on to that, we'll give you back the time in the air to join with you on that. I didn't get the opportunity to, or it slipped me, to both pay condolences and honor to Mr. Joe Edgell, and also to him, because I mean, as a member of Youth Parliament, I remember watching his contributions. He was one to watch. He was one to learn from. And they all were ones to watch and so on. But I remember him stood tall and made very viable contributions. So I wanted to join with you on that. I'll do the other one and a little later. So continue. I don't want to take your time. Go ahead.
Quickly, I'm trying to find out. When you do the other one, find out what the B stands for. I have always known him to be Astor B. Watts. Yeah. And all these years, I can't find out what the B stands for.
I can try to find out by the time I do it. Okay, right, go ahead. No. Go along, down.
The other thing, Corey, is that there's some mistakes that are being made that just need an apology or move ahead. For example, 12 hours is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
24 hours is from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like the idea of confusing people with this 24 hours and this 12 hours of allowing people to shop here and shop there, which is okay. What I think is necessary, that this idea of making statements, and I hope the Attorney General, someone I've got tremendous respect for, would remove the thought of imprisoning people, lock up. Barbadians have been adhering to all the pleas coming out of the Ministry of Health and the pleas coming out of what we consider to be the government. We are fortunate at this time to have got what they consider to be a divine interest in this country as far as the leadership of this country is concerned. We can see as people that this country means well. And it means well because somewhere along the line they've been hearing, since May last year, I'd like to be honest with you, they've been hearing some meaningful things in relation to somebody talking to them from a television. But it seems as if they're talking to them in their home and they're touching them while they're talking. So I want people to understand fully that we are complying. We have complained so far to all that have been asked of us. There's some who does not understand the 6 a.m. to the 6 p.m. or the 6 p.m. to the 6 a.m. So I'm hoping that this be clarified and that this idea of locking up somebody should not be made public at all. We're not ready for that. Apart from that, I think we've come a long way with this COVID. And I think that somewhere along the line that Beijing has started to understand the seriousness of it. And that is extremely important. The other stop I want to make, Corey, is I am lobbying for an occasion. And I hope people who hear this would lobby as well. We have been told that the churches are closed. We have been told that the supermarkets are open certain days. We have been told when to go to supermarkets. And we've been seeing people hanging around supermarket premises to get in. I know that we've got what you call distances in place, but I'm asking that some situation, either be a day asunder or some situation that it can be allowed as far as church is concerned. What I'm saying that is that there's so many people who skip church on Sunday now to go to the supermarket to buy the groceries. We have got to check ourselves. We have got to understand fully that as a nation, we have always been respectful of the Sunday and the Sabbath. So I would think the same way that they can flock the supermarket door and they can try to break down the supermarket door, that a day of church, everybody don't have to go into church. You can hang around outside in the window. You can sit down in the church 6 feet apart. The petition is that we have to return to the principal building of understanding. And I think this should be done very, very soon. And I say this, and I hope I'm lobbying for it in the sense that we seem to have been forgetting who we were, where we want to go. The world is looking at us now to find out how it is. All of these countries have been able to go through a serious situation. And because of our plans have been able to forego a lot of things that was expected of us. I am pleading, I am begging to these Barbadians now, who had the privilege of complaining about supermarkets and complaining about 24 hours and complaining about 24 days, that I'd ask for a day of prayer. Let's take, for example, the same Sunday between 11 and 1. The supermarket, you give God thanks for the leader of this country and what has happened to this country. You give God thanks that, you know what it is, Corey, to have a friend who passed on, that you've had that friend for a long time. And because of this COVID situation, that friend has gone on. And you have to ask the question, where, when, and how. It isn't an easy feeling. It's a vacuum in there. So I'm loving to these Barbadians who seem to have become very, very selfish and self-centered now, that we need to go back to where we came from.
Captain, we this is to... air traffic calling.
Yeah, I got the lad.
Yeah, again, signal. This is air traffic control. Is this the captain speaking?
I'm the captain, but they're just checking the runway. Something is up on the runway.
Yeah, so just bring it down. You know, who to bring it down. I wanted to make some points on the thing, but I didn't want to prolong it. But the whole idea of the 24-hour curfew, wanted to touch on that, and the whole idea of the people feeling locked up. Now, before we went into this full thing, I made the point, and I stand by it. I sit by it today, and that is that as we try to clamp down and clamp down, we would have been clamping down and clamping down on law-abiding citizens. The people that felt the need to be outside for whatever reason, because their homes are not comfortable or whatever reason, they're just belligerent, whatever, they would have continued and will continue to do that. Some will be held, some will be charged, some will be warned. That is the reality. But as you clamp down and clamp down, usually you are usually squeezing the law-abiding people. So I didn't think that would have been the way or the best way to go in the beginning. But you know what? I am not the chief medical officer of this country. I'm not the czar, and these are not my decisions to make. But as a citizen, just like you, I have the right to air my opinion. Now, the mix-up between the 24-hour and the 6-to-6 and the 8 and all these times, I could understand how it could happen, but it's really simple. It is a 24-hour curfew. Everybody's supposed to be inside for 24 hours with some exceptions, and those exceptions occur within a period of time. And during those times, you're exempting to go outside, to go to the bank, the supermarket, pharmaceuticals, any medical attention, anything deemed to be of serious import. And that is really where people get the whole confusion. But outside of those things, you remain under the 24-hour curfew. Now, looking on the horizon, I can see that we are beginning to open back slowly and, you know, do certain things a little bit more, and some normalcy will come. It will not come overnight. And that's where I really wanted the interaction with you to understand that we will slowly go there. Because as people say, you can kind of counsel somebody out of anxiety. You can bring back an economy, but you can't bring back a life. And so the paramount thing right now is to protect the lives. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. There is going to be some discomfort, but like most human beings, we adapt. That is why, unlike the dinosaurs, we are still here. Okay, sir? Sir?
Allow me to fly.
Of course, I allow you to land properly. Don't crash land. Let's bring it down nice and smooth on the runway. Go ahead. Oh, he was thanking us for land. Nobody can shoot it down out the air, nothing. I don't know. We've lost contact with that plane. We let the FAA know, and we move on to the next call. Brass Stats, good morning. 28 minutes before noon, you are on the air.
Good morning to you, Corey. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you, sir?
I'm okay. I have no problem with the curfew. I'm from information and report. Because that's what the court said. Some persons were caught in illegal activity.
Okay, you mean some of them.
Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with that. And it's not a perfect solution for everything.
Correct.
It's not. Mm-hmm. Next thing, one. I think moderators should stop bashing frontline workers. And let me be specific. A claim was made that a security officer told a customer they can only make two payments at short pay. Now, I think when you are a moderator, you should examine the information and respond intelligently. Because remember, the security guard is not in charge. And to make a statement that the security guard should be training customer service, I think the moderator should be too. But the security guard can only carry out directives given to that individual in the report to work the morning.
But you don't feel that all frontline workers should be trained in some kind of customer management or service? You don't agree with the point?
I agree with the point. Okay. But when you're going to single out the security officer, what I'm saying is, Corey, if you're the security officer and you can't work this morning, and I'm your boss and they give you a directive, you don't have to like it. You have to carry it out, whether it's right or wrong.
I agree, but you know that there is some room for a little discretion from time to time.
Yes, there is.
But that's the main point.
That I only want two bills paid this morning, then I'm what you can do.
Right.
When the supermarket
I get where you're coming from.
Right.
I get where you're coming from because, as you would appreciate, the management or whoever makes that decision, they don't have to get that direct interface with the public to get the cussing.
No, they don't. No.
And usually people would take out the frustration on the person who is implementing the order, but really and truly the problem lies with the policy itself. So take your point.
A lot of people make statements, emotion speaking without intellect. This pandemic.
No. Not intellect. I would say with information. Intellect speaks to a whole. No. Intellect speaks to a certain level of learning. But I mean information. I am blown away. I mean totally blown away because I get to peep into the belly of the beast, right? And see little things from both sides, right? The things that people say without having a clue, it blows my mind.
Take your point. But remember, the person that call in is only viewing their point. The point to you is stupid. That doesn't give you the right to tell the individual that they're stupid. What I think you should do as a moderator is to try to bring that body around to reality.
I find persons like yourself, though, give too much credit to moderators. Moderators are commentators, right? You have a microphone, so you have more responsibility.
No,
a moderator said, but you know how many people must cast that saying, Gary? That's probably things worse, but it's just the moderator.
But when I say a moderator, I'm referring to an incident that I overheard.
I know you're talking about another radio station this morning.
But there's the thing.
But pandemic, I mean, you keep talking about a moderator.
I don't want Sakori. You under that caliber, you step up the ladder.
The focus you have on moderators, period. Some people just carry it a little too thin. A moderator is just a moderator.
But two things I observed during this pandemic. One, all disabilities are not visible.
True that.
And I think going forward, the government should look at, you know, when you become a pensioner, your ID card to the back is a different color. I think persons with disabilities, when they're going out to renew their ID card, they should have a document from a medical practitioner stating what disability they have. And I think the ID card should be a different color. If you want to make it blue or yellow like the flag, it's up to them. So that when persons present that ID, anybody will know, listen, this is a person with disability, whether they can see it or not. Secondly, we talk about technology. I think the time for friendly persuasion has passed. I believe the authority should make it mandatory that all financial institutions that who have ATMs shall be instructed to activate the software in that ATM so that blind people can operate that ATM independently. All ATMs have a headphone. And you only need to do the software. Not only for blind people, for elderly people, that can also assist them. And I think going forward, this can make life a little easier. I want to compliment you on the work you're doing. But I also want you to know there's a lot of people trying to reach you and can't reach you either.
Correct.
You know?
I know that.
But I don't want them to believe that you're ignoring them.
Not at all.
Or you have forgotten them.
Nope. I've actually gone to the point that I have 4 officers and 59 volunteers helping to return every single call, and we are still like 2 days behind. Although my mission is to call everybody back within 24 hours, we've slipped to 36 hours and 48 hours, and we're trying to bring it down to 12. But we need to get back to 36, back to 24 before we get to 12. And we're working around the clock to make that happen.
Corey, finally, I want to remind you that you were in demand before this pandemic, you know.
You don't have to remind
me. And you will
that,
be
sir.
In demand much more after this pandemic.
Oh, how reassuring, sir. I thank you very
so
much.
So don't
your
think
call.
That.
Have a good day, sir. You, I show you the door. Look, the door so. Have a good day.
Okay, you take care, my brother.
The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks continues. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Corey.
Hey, morning, morning.
How are you?
That's why you say you. I remember you last Friday. You made me laugh last Friday. Just remember.
Which one that was?
I mean, when you retire one time from speaking.
Oh. Yeah, but I doubt that I would take appropriately.
Yes, yes. It was funny, but go ahead. Speak
I regard you, man. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I want to take the persons, the top people in the world that you get information emanating from, like the World Health Head. I don't know if I got a name, because these persons got some. They're not Clark or Jones or Smith. There's a Pedro de Rochas and a Dr. Patrice Harris from America. She's some top expert in America. One said they warned against opening back up. You got to be very cautious, particularly cautious in opening back up the world. And the next one today, in your news extract from your radio stations, I will tell you, she's saying that it would be worse the second time around. I don't know if you would have heard that extract from that lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a piece of it, yeah.
Okay. Right. don't. My take is simple. This is a virus that no person in the world has got a handle on, and you've got to deal with it. Is a powder keg you're walking with in your hand. You got to deal with it cautiously every time, and you don't even know where the next day how it would. There's a word in use there. There's a word. That word come out of me. Anyhow, it's not easy. It's not easy. And it's something that has the world at a standstill. They don't know where the next move. So my take is, of all that we say and pursue, just apply caution every time out, because let me tell you something, it's no sport, and it is death like flies. Imagine in America, 40,000 people have gone already. You see, I don't know what to say sometimes. When Paul Davis asked me to answer, and I said, if you work, I'll ask you again. Mm-hmm. I was not trying to be facetious or saying evasive, but I just didn't know what to say. This is not. Nobody can come and ask you with certain things put forward. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, God is merciful unto whom he will, and I hope that is applied across the world with the love of God existing
and will cater to all of us. That's as much as I can say in the religious realm or in a spiritual sphere. Now, the government can be, and the NIS particularly, cannot be all things to all men. Somebody made a comment earlier when they saying these persons, they both at the end of the year, they're taking a thing. Everybody's running to the government cap and running to government do assist. I am saying that government has got to stop and work a case-by-case basis. I used to always talk this here back in the days when I used to talk about the right people getting houses and things. That has always been my philosophy and hasn't changed. You call it, you screen people on a case-by-case basis to see if you're really deserving and some assistance, you know? And there are going to be people, however you're swinging, always be at the bottom of the barrel that necessarily is going to need your help. I think that is very, very pertinent going forward, you know, and not everybody run on board. Come, give me some help. And you don't care, no case by case, and no screening. I think government needs to stop, and it can't be all things to all men going forward. Put an analysis on every person, and the person that genuinely...
That's what's happening, though. That's what's happening.
Right. That's, but you don't have a lot, everybody running the government, the hotel sector,
everybody,
the business, this. Everybody want... And you can understand your plight, but become a... How come a proper everybody, so?
What I recommend it really is to put it in three categories, and that's what in within our own program we're doing. We have high priority, and important. So understand that minimum you're important, but they're priority and high priority just over you. So
we should have.
Yeah, let's move on to your next point. I don't want to drag. I just wanted to flag that. Okay.
But you've gotten good tuition, so you shouldn't fall down now.
you get along down here.
April the 19th, Sunday, April the 19th, farmer dumps milk. Now, that is one that really shook me. I can't follow how in a state of affair where everybody is desperate with food and this and that, you can dump 30 gallons of milk per day. And I refer to this, some could have been sent to Kima, suffering, must apologize to you. The Natural Farm Ranch is just adjacent. They could have come to you. Because, you know, if you get two buckets, that milk, you would be able to bottle it off and call your persons there, and then pass and collect it.
And also the program, we're working with people as well. So this is not trying to be dumping anything.
So I can't.
And the other thing is, there's other uses like cheese, milk, all type of different things that can be used, reused, and refused. So I think these are good ideas. These are something you would have raised earlier as well. And we want to let you know the authorities are listening, and we're going to really implore them to take your wonderful suggestions on board. And I want to thank you very much for them all the while. Thank you very much, and do enjoy the rest of your day. 10 minutes before noon, let's take another call as we gallop towards the regional roundup. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Yes, please.
How you doing?
I am fair. You?
I'm good. It's interesting because on Monday when I called, I was speaking to the agriculturist. And again, ironically, normally I would have called to talk to the agriculturist about marijuana and the farmers. And after I spoke about it, after I was speaking to them, a lady came on and she spoke to them about it. And the views which I heard that were expressed, as far as I'm concerned, were really interesting. But I'll make commentary on that another time. But I was talking to him about the aspect of cheese and the aspect of the water, and I ran onto the water. Because as the gentleman that you just had was saying, the challenge we have in Barbados is with systems. And we should not, in a crisis especially, be in a position where we have to dump things and we can't. The problem is not having a system in place whereby a farmer can say, listen, I have this milk, I have to dispose of it, call Kimar Safri or whatever, can you come and get it? And we have a system in place that then gets that milk from the farm or wherever to the people where it's needed. These are what COVID to me has done has highlighted a lot of the weaknesses within our system of operating. And this is the opportunity now where that discussion has to take place in terms of what's going on and how we can improve these systems to strengthen them, to make them work. Now, I was talking about water, and yesterday I tried to get on the program, but I didn't, couldn't get through.
So you mean you called Monday, you wanted to call yesterday and call today too?
Yes, because I didn't call yesterday, did I? And I was trying to make a point on Monday, which I didn't finish.
Wow.
Because the challenge was is about water.
Okay, go ahead.
Right?
Go ahead.
And the conversation that happened yesterday was the minister came on and was speaking about water. And we were talking about, and you came on this morning, and you were talking about the water as well.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, what I really and truly want to talk about is this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have the greatest of respect for the job that Minister Abrahams has been doing. I think he is by head and shoulders above a lot of the end of ministers within this administration. He is doing a fantastic job in what he's trying to do, in trying to change and fix the culture that existed at the Water Authority and deal with issues that you've had of trying to supply Barbados in this time. He had to deal with the sewage situation. He had to deal with the fact of this drought situation. He had to deal with the culture of overtime in the Water Authority. And he has had to deal with years of what we consider mismanagement in the Water Authority and the challenges there. And I think he's doing a fantastic job, okay? But there are a lot of things which are still wrong. And I think it's unfair in a way of people to be expecting that. I've heard people make the comment that, well, you've increased our water rate at the rate at which we pay for water, and we expect these things to be fixed. And it's quite literally impossible. The fact of the matter is, the Barbados Water Authority is more or less, you could consider them bankrupt. Because when you're talking about having to get $2 billion in order to fix something, there is no way that all the money, all the revenue that comes from the people in Barbados could go towards that $2 billion in order to solve the problem.
You have a radio in your background? Oh, no. Sir? Hello?
Hello?
You have a radio in your background?
No.
This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We go until 2 p.m. We break one more time, actually two more times, 12:30 latest, and the ICAB 5 minutes at 1 o'clock. So you could look out for that. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, Corey.
We continue with Barbados Brightest.
Right.
Good afternoon. Barbados is Brightest.
Yeah, right, Corey.
That's my chat name for you, you know. My chat, that's what they refer to you as. So I think you should take it as a compliment and go long down.
No. People are being paid to be the brightest. And being paid handsome, please do that there as well.
And that's not too bright.
And I'm glad I can't be an honorable moderator, because when I have to call people stupid, you know quite well I just have to. Mm-hmm. Have to say what's all stupid to me.
Yes,
anyhow, if I'm interesting just now as well, that a preview of the news that you're having coming up, where one of the political parties is saying that they found the comments of the minister to be a bit insensitive with respect to people having to pay the water bill. I'm not going to get into that there. But as I said, I believe the minister overall is doing an excellent job in a very, very demanding situation. But I think there are also solutions to this problem, to the problems which I keep on hearing about that are not being actively enough pursued or whatever, or the conversations that are needed to be had with the people are not being actively pursued for whatever reasons. So this continually blaming something on a drought, yes, there is a drought. That is a fact. But I think the biggest problem we have is the fact that we have an old antiquated system that's leaking like a sieve. It makes no sense.
I think we spend too much time, Carla, really and truly explaining the problem. We've said this for years.
Right.
The pipes, the leaking, the drought, the pumping, the rainfall in terms of falling in the higher parts. But because of gravity, it goes into the lowest part. So the coastlines, they don't have a lot of problems with water. But the top of the country does, in the middle.
Right.
All of that has been explained ad nauseum. So my thing is, we got to spend time and energy fixing it. The cell plants. water conservation, fix the pipes.
So this is where you want to come in now, dealing with solutions. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that the Barbados Water Authority cannot afford to solve the problem on its own. Mm-hmm. It has to get involved with the private sector, in order to bring answers to certain aspects of the water situation. So therefore, we know that there's a problem with St. John, let's say, and the higher elevations. So therefore, we had the strategy of saying, okay, people who live in this area need to have a water tank. So therefore, people have to be provided with water tanks, and then we also have to provide them with a system whereby those water tanks can be refilled. Okay? Mm-hmm. So therefore, you then have to get involved in the private sector and say, okay, we want to issue contracts for getting these people these water tanks, and also supplying these water tanks on a regular basis. How much money is that going to cost? And once you get that figure, and you then can separate that from the regular, let's say, system that is provided by the Water Authority, you can then begin to solve problems piece by piece. Okay? That is the strategy that has to be involved. But it makes no sense, in my opinion, having to waste energy and money to pump water all the way from the lower elevations through a leaking system up to higher elevations to reservoir that's leaking to come back down in the system that's still leaking more. The cost of doing that there, to me, doesn't make sense. Okay, so therefore you have to separate, you have to deal with the problems that you can fix and separate them from the ones you can't, and then employ other strategies to do that. I heard you speak in terms today about going back to pit toilets, and you forget that one of the platforms that Ms. Motley ran on was the abolition of all pit toilets.
You heard me saying that we should go back to pit toilets?
No, you were speaking about, sorry then. If you didn't say that, I heard it mentioned this morning by somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. And I am saying, no, that is not the way to go. The challenge that you have is in terms of the separation of the water, of the gray water from clean water, from the potable water. The water that is filtered and stuff that comes from the Water Authority, you want to use that for drinking water. But then there's gray water that can be caught from the rain, all that sort of stuff. And then you're recycling the water in the system at a household level. So therefore, again, those are strategies and designs that can be implemented for people building the houses. Mm-hmm. Okay? And could be retrofitted into houses and people that have the space and the land to do that sort of thing.
I know that repetition is a key strategy for learning, but nothing that's been said here today is new. These are things that we've been repeating, and I think it goes positive towards reiterating it and for the public and the policymakers to understand that this is one of the options or the best way to go. So I want to thank you for your contribution and really, you know, repeating a lot of the things that we've been saying for a very long time and that we really need to act on at this stage. Thank you very much. 12 minutes afternoon.